open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 through 4. And this is going to be the beginning of our study this evening as we think about this expression in Romans chapter 8 and verse 3, that he condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned sin in the flesh. And I'd like for us to think about that for a little bit this evening. This is probably going to be a little bit deeper study than we normally do on Sunday morning and Sunday night. And I want it to be that way because I want us to sometimes think about some of the things in God's Word to see if we can grasp and get our minds around these things and to really push ourselves a little bit in our knowledge so that we can become stronger and more mature Christians and to be servants of God and to truly understand the Word of God as we go out and we interact with those around us in the world. And so as we read in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, let's see what the Apostle Paul has to say. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, the book of Romans isn't necessarily the easiest book in the New Testament to understand, and there are some challenges with reading it and studying it. But I think that if we dig in tonight and we think about some of these things, we can come to an understanding of what this expression means. He condemns sin in the flesh. We certainly want to study to show ourselves approved unto God, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. And as we think about this expression, we want to think about some of these questions. What does this mean? And how is sin condemned? And how do we apply this to our lives today? And I hope that as we think about these things, that we'll understand more about what this expression means. He condemns sin in the flesh. Really, for us to understand this expression, we've got to go back to the Old Testament and think about some things that happened before Christ came. And before Christ, sin and death reigned supreme in the world. And that's our first point tonight as we think about what this expression, he condemns sin in the flesh. What does that mean? Well, when we look back to the pages of the Old Testament, we see that Adam and Eve brought sin and death into the world. In Genesis chapter 2 and verses 16 and 17, the Lord God commanded the man saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." Now, before they ate of that tree of knowledge of good and evil, they had eternal life within them. They would have lived forever if they had not eaten of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But God said, in the day that you eat of that, then death is going to come into the world. You shall surely die. And they surely did die. And so that's something that the Bible teaches us that is a consequence of sin. That is death. In fact, in Genesis chapter 3, down in the last part of that chapter, we read these words. "Then the Lord God said, Behold, the man has become like one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken." Well, what do we learn from these verses in Genesis chapter 3? We learn that man somehow changed as a result of his sin. You see, he was innocent before that sin. He was able to eat of the tree of life and live forever before that sin. He did not have a certain knowledge that he had before that sin. In fact, God says, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. And so God sent Adam and Eve out of the garden so they wouldn't have access to the tree of life, but they were forever changed after this moment. Something was different about them, and that is that sin had entered into their lives. And sin and death then became the ruler of man. When we turn to Genesis chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7, we read these words, "So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it.'" Now think about that for a minute. We know the story of Cain and Abel. We know that Cain was extremely envious of Abel and what Abel had accomplished in his sacrifice to the Lord. And Cain was upset. He was angry, the Bible says, because his sacrifice was not accepted like Abel's was. And so God comes to Cain and he says, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do not do well, then sin lies at the door. So sin was about to come in to Cain's life. And God said its desire, that is, sin's desire, is for you. Sin wants to take you and control you and rule over you. But God told Cain, he said this, "But you should rule over it." That is, don't let sin control you. You should control it. And I think that's an interesting point. Of course, we know the rest of that story. Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel, and sin took control over him, didn't it? And so sin ruled over his life. In fact, the whole story of the Old Testament is the story of how sin and death ruled over all mankind. It ruled there in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve committed sin. It ruled in the life of Cain and Abel, their children. We look into Abraham's life and we see that sin was in his life. We look into the lives of Isaac and Jacob and then the 12 sons of Jacob. We see sin ruling within their life. We see then that the nation of Israel comes about, and even though God gives the law so that people will be aware of what sin is, they still commit sin, and sin and death still reign over them. And what happens in the Old Testament can be summed up in Judges chapter 17 and verse 6. And as we think about that, the whole of the Old Testament, the whole of man's desires for sin and to let sin live within his life. And Judges 17:6 says this, "In those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes." And that's in essence what sin does. It convinces us that we are our own lords, we are our own masters, and that we can do whatever we want to do and it will be okay. And of course, that's not the truth. But as long as that prevails, as long as that thinking prevails, as long as that mentality prevails, sin and death reign over man. Now this is the Apostle Paul's point in Romans chapter 5 and verses 12 through 21, at least partially. So turn back there for a moment. Romans chapter 5 and verses 12 through 21. And I want you to notice how many times Paul says death reigned or sin reigned in this text. Romans chapter 5 verses 12 through 21. Let's read it together. You should have your Bibles open already to the book of Romans, but let's look at verses 12 through 25. Verse 12, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin was not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam, to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who was a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by the one man offense, by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation. But the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of the righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now let's unwind some of that, shall we? First of all, we want to point out that in verses 14 and verse 17 and verse 21, you see that either death reigned or sin reigned. Notice verse 14. Death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. Death reigned. Now look at verse 17. If by one man's offense death reigned through the one. Okay, so death reigned. Look at verse 21. So that as sin reigned in death, so sin reigned in death. Sin controlled things. You see, under the old law, under the old covenant, sin and death reigned over man. In Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 15 says that Jesus came to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So that's the first point. Before Christ, sin and death reigned supreme in the world. But now that Christ has come, he destroyed the power of sin and death over man. Now this is our second point. Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus, came to destroy the power of sin and death over man. And how did he do this? First of all, Jesus lived a sinless life, so that death would have no power over him. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, we read this, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Now it was important that Jesus didn't have any sin in his life. And why is that? So that sin could not reign over him as it had over everyone else up until that point. But Jesus had no sin. He was sinless. In 1 John 3 and verse 5 we read, "And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin." And so because Jesus did not have sin within his life, sin couldn't reign over him, and death had no power over him. And that's why he came forth from the grave, because death is a consequence of sin. And because Jesus didn't have any sin, death couldn't reign over him. And so he conquered death. He overcame it, and he came forth from the grave because of it. Now, this means that Jesus destroyed the power of sin and death, and he destroyed the one who had the power of death, delivering us from the control of sin and death. Now, we can still allow sin and death to control us today, but we don't have to, because Jesus has made it possible for us to be free from that. Now listen to Hebrews chapter 2 and verses 14 and 15 in this regard. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. That is, Jesus became a human being. He partook of flesh and blood. That through death, his death, he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. If we allow sin and death to control us today, we are subject to bondage. And we will experience the same kind of life that those under the old covenant experienced. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to live with that constant fear of sin and death, because Jesus has overcome all of that. And he's conquered that so that we can be delivered from that. And that's a significant difference between those who lived under the old covenant and those of us today who live under the new covenant. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verses 9 and 10 says this, that Jesus has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now listen to this, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. He abolished death. What does that mean, that he abolished death? Does it mean that no one will ever die again? No, it doesn't mean that. But it means that death doesn't have to control our life. You see, so many people live in such a way, anticipating and trying to prevent death. And because of that, death controls their life. It makes them so that they always try to live in such a way so that they're seeking the prevention of something which they cannot prevent, because everyone dies. But we don't have to let death reign over us. We don't have to let death control us. We don't have to fear death, because Jesus Christ has overcame and he gives us that blessing. You see, Jesus did what the law could not do to make us righteous. The law couldn't overcome death. The law couldn't free us from sin. But Jesus does that. Romans chapter 8 verses 3 and 4. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Okay? The law was weak. It was fleshly. It was carnal. And it couldn't accomplish what God accomplished through Christ. What the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did, by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You see, we can live without fear today. We don't have to be controlled by the fear of death like so many people are in this world, because Jesus condemned sin in the flesh. And what does that mean? What does that expression mean? He condemned sin in the flesh. It doesn't mean that sin is bad. Now, sin is bad. We're not debating that. We're not challenging that. But this expression, he condemned sin in the flesh, doesn't mean that sin is bad. What it means is that he condemned sin so that it no longer has to control us like it did under the old law. And you say, well, how did he condemn sin so that it no longer has to control us? He condemned it by bringing in grace. You see, because through grace, God saves us. That's the favor of God. That's God's loving kindness that's bestowed upon us because we are in his Son, Jesus Christ. And it means that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. That means that I don't have to constantly go around worrying about, oh, this sin, I can't do this sin, and I can't do that sin. Now, we can't sin. We shouldn't sin. But we don't have to constantly worry about that as Christians, because we have forgiveness through the blood of Christ. And we have the grace of God in our life. Okay? I don't walk around every day constantly thinking about, you know, what sins can I avoid right now? I don't do that. I think about how much God loves me. I think about how God favors me. I think about the wonderful blessing that it is to be in Christ. I try to think about the worth that God has told me how much I'm worth through the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, and how much God loves me. Those are the things that I focus upon. You see, because if we're sitting here focusing upon, well, I can't do this because this might be a sin, or I can't do that because this might be a sin, or I can't do that because this might be a sin, then we've missed the whole point. We've missed the whole point of Jesus. We've missed the whole point of grace. We've missed the whole point of forgiveness. You see, He condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned it. He put it away. Now, I am not trying to say by any means that we shouldn't study the Bible and hear what the Bible has to say about what's right and wrong, and to think about what is right and what is wrong, and not do the wrong and pursue the right. We should do those things. Don't get me wrong. But what the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us is that we do have special access to God through Jesus that puts us in a favored relationship with Him. And because we're in a favored relationship with God, God forgives us of our sins. And that's a beautiful thing. Christ condemned sin in the flesh. He made it so that sin is no longer the ruler. Sin no longer reigns. Sin no longer controls. And that's a beautiful thing. And so today, Christ reigns, not sin. Christ reigns. We don't have to be ruled by sin, but we can rule over it, as God instructed Cain to do in Genesis chapter 3. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and verses 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Now think about that. Think about what Paul says there. He didn't say sin should not have dominion over you. He didn't say, you know, if things are going the way they're supposed to, sin should not have dominion over you. He said sin does not, it shall not have dominion over you, because you are not under the law, but under grace. Now that's a significant point, and that's the point that we're trying to get across tonight. That's what it means that God condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned it, and that means that it no longer has power over us who are seeking to live the life that God wants us to live. Now I think that's an important point. Because if we just give up, if we say, you know what, forget this Christianity stuff, I'm going to do whatever I want. If we go back to the way that they lived under the old covenant, where everyone did what was right in his own eyes, then guess what? You've just frustrated the grace of God is what you've done. No, we don't go back to that. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ keeps on cleansing us from our sins. And so Christ reigns, not sin. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 56 and 57. Now listen to what he said there. The sting of death is sin. But if sin no longer reigns, then where is death's sting? It doesn't exist anymore, you see. Death doesn't have to have a sting in it. You see, if you die In your sins, death has a sting in it, because then you have to pay the penalty for your sins. But as a Christian, as one who is faithful to the Lord, death no longer has a sting in it. And God saves us by His grace. He gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord, because He condemned sin in the flesh. We are able to rule over sin through the grace of God and the forgiveness that is in Christ. By grace, God accepts us in Christ. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 1 and verse 7. He says that we have all these spiritual blessings in Christ to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us, now listen to this, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. He made us accepted. You're accepted with God. I'm accepted with God in the Beloved. That's in Christ. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In Him, that is in Christ. You see, sin has been condemned through Christ and no longer has power over us if we are truly in Christ. And we can know whether or not we are in Christ. Turn with me, if you would, to Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 through 29. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It's a blessing to be in Christ. We can know that we're in Christ by virtue of the fact that we've heard the Word of God and we've believed it. We've repented of our sins. We confess Jesus as Christ and we've been baptized for the remission of sins. That's how you know whether you're in Christ. And if you're in Christ, then you're in the Beloved. And if you're in the Beloved, then you are accepted. God accepts you. And sin doesn't have any control over you anymore. Sin doesn't have dominion over you if you are in Christ. Now you can get out of that situation. You can leave. You can say, I'm not going to have anything to do with God anymore. I'm not going to have anything to do with the church anymore. I'm not going to have anything to do with Christ anymore. And if you do that, there's no grace. There's no forgiveness. The blood of Christ doesn't cover you anymore. All right? But if you're faithful, if you stay true to Him, if you stay in Christ, in the Beloved, God accepts you. He loves you. He forgives you. He extends His grace to you, and through that, we're saved. And He condemns sin in the flesh. He says, sin, you're not going to have any more power over my children. You're not going to be able to touch them because they're in the Beloved. They are accepted of me in Christ. He condemned sin in the flesh. That's such a beautiful statement, and it has such comfort. And there's so much promise that's contained within it. And I am just so thankful that God condemns sin in the flesh through His Son, Jesus the Christ. Let's review what we talked about this evening. And I know this has been a little bit deeper than most of the lessons. And if you have any questions about this, I would welcome further study on this. And I would be happy to talk about this more with you. But remember our 3 points tonight. First of all, before Christ, sin and death reigned supreme in the world. But Christ came to destroy the power of sin and death over man. And now, Christ reigns, not sin. And that's what that expression means. He condemned sin in the flesh. Do you need to give your life to Christ tonight? Do you need to come to Him in loving obedience to God's Word, to put Him on in baptism so that you can be part of the body of Christ, so that you can be in Christ, so that you can be in the Beloved, so that you can be accepted by God? We can help you do that this evening. Are you a Christian but haven't been living faithfully? Come back. Come back to Christ. Come back to living the way that Christ wants you to live. Come back to faithfulness. Come back to the situation where sin is condemned in the flesh. And don't let sin rule or reign over you, but you rule and reign over it through Him. Whatever your need may be this evening, we invite you to come while we stand and sing this song of encouragement.